Hello and welcome to the Behind the Story podcast. Joining me today is co-founder of the Wealthy Her Network and entrepreneur, Tamara Gillen. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And Baroness Burt, former MP and now member of the House of Lords.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks very much for joining me. Really excited to have you on. Today we'll be talking about levelling the playing field and how we can ensure women thrive in business. So let's kick off with Tam. As a successful entrepreneur, you founded two businesses that have been award-winning, and recently you set up the Wealthy Her Network, which is driving change to make the finance industry better for women. So with this wealth of experience, what would you say needs to be done to level the playing field?
I think it's twofold. The first is very much centred around the environment for women in which they are operating or playing. I think that it's, you know, whether you look across the board at research, whether that's women in careers or entrepreneurs, women are playing a disproportionate role in childcare. So I think it's really important that environments with which women are operating in actually offer equal parenting opportunities to both parents, so that women have, you know, both parents get to play a role in their children's lives, and therefore women have a chance to also have that flexible benefit, and their partners play a role in that. I think it's also, as we embrace, and you know, marketing is dominated by young people and the world is changing, and I think that flexibility is really important for all people, and that lets people have the lives that they need, whether that's I'm a parent or just I want to have a diverse and interesting life. And be passionate about what I do, but I think it's really important that we have an outcome-driven culture that lets people be flexible rather than having presenteeism, which is rife in many companies and businesses. And then on the other side, I think it's really critical that women find confidence, that they also have role models that they look up, because women are, whether that is I'm in, you know, on a path internally to leadership, or I'm an entrepreneur looking for capital, confidence comes up time and time again as a barrier to women asking for more or negotiating for their value, whether that's for an investment in my business or my own salary. So I think that's the two sides that I think women need to master.
Yes, interesting. Baroness Burt, you have quite a unique perspective, having been a complete champion for women inside and outside of Parliament. So
yeah, and I was an entrepreneur too, and so I know exactly what it's like to have to, you know, run your business, think about it all day, dream about it all night, but still have to work out what the kids are going to have for tea. And that's something that we very often don't get credited with. Tam, you spoke about confidence, and confidence was the number one prohibitor of women taking that that step. But number two was, particularly with trying to get funding, inclusive language. You can cut women out by using technical language, and in fact, when I started to research for the Burt Report, which is inclusive support for women in enterprise, and what we as a government should be doing, I looked at the government's website, and I thought it was rather more like an army recruiting type website than actually, you know, trying to encourage a whole diverse country of different kinds of entrepreneurs. So the more companies appreciate the value of procuring, of working with diverse types of enterprise, the more successful they will be. And the higher up the food chain decisions are made by people who don't all look the same, the more successful a company will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that's something the Wealthy Her Network's trying to champion, diversity and inclusion. And last week, the government published a strategy to improve gender equality at every stage of life. And as part of it, they've recommended a new code for investment. So looking at exposing the gender gap in investment, and picking up on that point about entrepreneurs, what role do you think investors should play and the government should play in increasing kind of diversity of investment for female entrepreneurs?
I mean, I think it's a very, very good point, and, you know, an interesting measure that has been successfully used with the gender pay gap and publishing those figures. And in fact, there is absolute funding gaps for women and diversity, more diverse leaders, founders. So in fact, that publishing of the actual investment that's going to women, I think, is a really positive change.
Yeah.
I think that's hugely important. But talking about this requirement to publish with regard to the gender pay gap, what I'm campaigning for at the moment is a requirement for companies over 250 employees to be required to publish their parental policies.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Because if you go to an interview and you start saying, well, what's your shared parental leave like? You know, you're inviting people to take a particular kind of view. Whereas if it's on their website, if you can actually see what it is, then that question doesn't need to come up.
Mm. So I think it's a really good point. We had at my company, Cherry, we had a Bring Your Mother to Lunch series, which was a lunch and learn. And one of my wonderful team brought her mother, who was an amazing advisor on diversity and inclusion. And she said to us about 2 years ago, she said, unless you have equal parental opportunities for both parents or all parents, then you cannot have the positive impact that you want. And actually, as a tiny company, being, you know, Cherry, we said, actually, we're going to create equal opportunities for parental opportunity for men and women. And that's really important to us. And I think it's a myth that it, you know, it has an impact. Yes, it's always hard to balance. But if the team comes together and said, we will support the lives that people want together, which is what we said to our teams, you know, this person's going on a paternity leave. Can you support? Everybody bands together to enable the things that people want to do in their lives. And in fact, it has created more prosperity. So even though it has a hard cost, it creates more prosperity, positivity, and actually, you know, a better longevity of people staying in companies. So the commercial benefits are clear as well from my perspective.
Absolutely.
Baroness Beck, you've said in the past that women are very special in the sense that we're amazing at working together. How important do you think women's networks are in achieving change and bringing about the cuts of the change you're talking about?
I think they're hugely important. I belong to quite a few different women's networks, and what I love is the mutual support that we give to each other, because picking up on what you were saying earlier about lack of confidence. And it works in different walks of life. For example, someone had to give me a very stiff talking to before I could in any way imagine that I could be good enough to stand as a member of parliament. You know, I mean, people now that they laugh, but that fundamental, you know, the no talent police are going to come and tap you on the shoulder and say, right, that's it, Laura Lee, the game's up. We're taking you back to Dudley.
It's the imposter syndrome, though, women.
It is.
Much more pointed.
It really is. And so you really, really need people to tell you, you are good enough. Mm. You can do this.
Mm.
And to support you. Just like what you were saying right at the very beginning, you know, about having a mentor, but having that affinity group where, you know, you can say to people, you know, when things are going bad, oh, yeah, oh, that happened to me, you know, and I got out of it this way, you know, and to get women to realise that it's not their fault if things don't go exactly in the way that they have quite meticulously planned, and that you've got to keep adjusting your business ideas, your career, in order to make the most of the opportunities that are open to you.
Yeah. Tam, I know this has been a lifelong career for you of supporting women and making women's networks. What's your experience been?
Wholeheartedly agree that I think the power of women, natural born collaborators, I think as you say, I think that peer to peer, I need advice, I just want to run this by, I just want to understand what you're doing is so valuable to women, and that informal conversation and support. I also think the power of networks, particularly in the work that we're doing with Wealthy Her, is we've got, you know, amazing founding partners in Barclays, HSBC, JP Morgan, but the power of collaboration, of that network working together to change an industry, is a real catalyst for quite seismic change and shifts. So I think the network is important individually to people, and we've also found that through the participating champions who come from those organisations working together, they are loving the network as well. But it's also important for women to have that, I've got this barrier to overcome, I want to understand how did you do that investment. So I think that is absolutely critical. We also found that in the research that when women are women are disengaged with finance, we are not talking about investments, pensions. We're highly involved in mortgages, but at that point we start to drop off in our interests. But actually, women talking together, I think actually they can have a lot more open conversations about what are you doing, what can I learn from that.
Yeah.
So I think that it's absolutely invaluable, and I think we can achieve mighty things when we work together.
We can, you know, and you can dare to ask what you fear might be the stupid question. And there's no such thing as a stupid question if you don't know the answer. And I very often say that, you know, when I'm talking to groups, please be the one to ask the stupid question, because everybody who's sitting there next to you is going to be thinking of the same thing, and they don't dare ask.
Yeah.
You know, and these are the things, the most important things that need to come out of this, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So interesting, when we were doing the Wealthy Her report research, we had a number of interviews, one-on-one interviews, we did focus groups, and I always talk about this amazing woman who had sold two businesses, made 50 million in investments in great British businesses and returns from her businesses, and she said, it's not confidence when I look at finance. And towards the end of the focus session, she went, actually, I don't want to show I don't know. I don't want to ask my advisors and my investment people, why are we doing that? And I want to ask the stupid questions. And in fact, I'd rather sit around with a room of other women in similar situations and say, just ask the silly question, because we're too nervous, even though she'd been hugely successful commercially, didn't want to show in a new realm of financial personal investment.
And what we don't realise is that the boys don't know the answer either.
Yeah.
You know, but they're not prepared to admit that they don't know.
Yeah. Talking about networks, commenting on the anniversary of the first female prime minister, you said you would feel, Baroness Burt, you would feel more inclined to celebrate this milestone if she had encouraged other women to come forward to use some of the talented women that she had at her disposal. Do you think women in senior roles are doing enough to help those lower down the ladder?
No, I think it's a whole culture that we really need to change in British business. Some companies do it well, but the whole idea of creating, you know, a welcoming, inclusive, warm atmosphere when you come to work at a company. The fact that, you know, you feel you can bring your whole self to work, that you're not expected to just be that role because you have so many different roles. And companies who understand, who appreciate, who welcome that approach do so well because they get it. And that translates, as you were saying, Tam, earlier, into, you know, greater loyalty. You get less absenteeism because people feel that, tell you the real reason why, you know, they're not able to come to work, or they've got special responsibilities, and you can make adjustments to enable them to be their whole self. And I think that it's absolutely huge, and it's a step that we need to take. But there are a lot of companies, you know, who now really get that, and they're taking that step. I've done a little bit of work with HS2, and they, as part of their procurement, you know, require companies to disclose what their different policies are on diversity and inclusion, and what they're doing, you know, to improve that whole area. Because the bottom line benefits of doing that are absolutely huge. They really are.
Yeah. How about you, Tam? What's your experience been with mentors or being a mentor to women?
I think it's really important, and I think, you know, going back to the root of the question, I think women need to help other women come up, and I think that so that they can be mentors and role models. I do think you find women who are not as supportive broadly, and that, but I think the environments in which women are working are changing. I think it is, I think any kind of mentor for a female leader, someone coming up through business, or an entrepreneur is really critical. Yeah. I've been really lucky to have both male and female entrepreneurs who have mentored me throughout my crazy journey at times, where I really needed to scream, cry, ask for advice on things I just couldn't overcome by myself. And I think I am so grateful for those people who've helped me, that in return, I'm all over. You know, if anyone ever emails me and says, could you mentor, particularly young female entrepreneurs, I'm like, yes, let me help, because I just think, you know, I know the hurdles to overcome in on that path.
Yeah.
But equally, also trying to find mentors for, you know, women in careers as well. And Wealthy Her, I have to say, we've had, in Cherry, we believe in mentoring, coaching. And I think you and I especially think that as an entrepreneur, you have to change and adapt as your business grows. If you don't have coaching and outside support, it's very hard to change and adapt and grow. So we've always invested a lot in coaching for ourselves and our leadership and our people. And in fact, what I've been amazed with Wealthy Her is actually some of those coaches have written to me and said, we would love to mentor women within the network. We just love what we're doing, you're doing for women.
Amazing.
Which again goes back to the point of women helping other women, but also the power of collaboration and really getting behind something together.
And government have tried, you know, there have been various initiatives, not, I don't think, specifically related to women, you know, but for people who want to start to grow their companies exponentially, you know, ready to take off, they've got that trajectory, that kind of mentoring and assistance can be available. But it needs to be done, in my view, on a much bigger scale. And, you know, it's something that I think as the government could really push, you know, looking at maybe making a requirement for their suppliers to see how they treat their staff.
Yeah.
We've talked already about parental policies.
Yeah.
There's so much more. Things like, you know, the recruitment methods that companies use, they're ignoring the talent on their doorstep. And, you know, we've got very close on to full employment. We've got more women in employment than ever before. So, you know, we're just going to have to sell it a bit better and treat people properly when they actually get into your company.
Yeah.
And give them, and you know, entice them in, and don't just be blinkered about what it is you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because that's what led to all these all men boards that we've got, that we had. Fortunately, you know, according, you know, Vince Cable worked very hard to try and remedy that, and using various threats, which has had a transformational effect. But it's got to be right the way up and right the way down an organisation in order for them to benefit. So there's more to be done, but I think that you know, it's too slow, but it's gradually, grudgingly edging towards the right direction.
Yeah, and I think there's a real opportunity for industry and government to collaborate on this.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think I heard a really terrifying stat when we opened the London, Wealthy Her opened the London Stock Exchange last week, and it was we are making progress on representation on British boards in the FTSE 100. However, there are still more CEOs named Dave in the FTSE 100 than there are women on boards, which is you know, when you say change, more change is needed. And I also agree that we absolutely need to get behind those mid-stage businesses. We just also announced an accelerator. We'd love to collaborate, and I think the way forward is private and government working together, and actually leveraging the power of collaboration to do that through a number of organisations. Because one of the things that we're hoping to do with Wealthy Her, and we're bringing people together, is there are a number of initiatives, but we become more powerful if we put them together towards the same aims.
Absolutely.
Because you can have more impact and step change impact.
Because isn't it a shocking statistic that less than 1% of money, venture capital money, goes to women-owned enterprises. I mean, shame on them. That's all I can say. You know, and they are the ones who are missing out, because we are creating wealth, and we are creating more sustainable wealth as well, which is always a really, really good thing to do. And this focus on the short term, on stock exchange particularly, a share can change hands like, you know, 10 times a second because of the algorithms and computer programs that we're using. Well, that doesn't create any kind of loyalty in investing in any kind of organisation, does it? So, you know, we've got to start thinking about this. I've got my own cunning plan.
What's that?
What we're going to, when I'm in charge. You know? Yeah. A transaction tax.
Okay.
Very, very tiny, tiny amount of money.
Yeah.
Each time. But it would stop that moving around of shares at an exponential rate. It's not healthy. It's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
Except the people who are, you know, creaming it in the stock exchange, and I can live without them.
Yeah.
And their champagnes and all their posh cars and everything else, quite honestly.
It's really interesting, several points that you said, which I think is that, yes, the 1% is shocking from a VC point of view. We talked to the BVCA, which is the governing body, and they said that only 4% of pitches are coming from female-led businesses or enterprises. So I think that, going back to one of our earlier discussion points, networks are critical because actually they're not finding each other. Also going back, I think that women have that perceived, that world of VCs is not for me. You know, and I know it's scary. And I know, you know, have been commercially successful, but actually I have once pitched to a group of male VCs and it was terrifying. It was one of the more terrifying things in my career.
Yeah.
And I'm forward thinking, progressive, and very aware of commerciality and what I do, but it was a very daunting environment. So I think we need to change the way that they are meeting each other and also boost women within that.
Yeah.
I also think, to your latter point around I don't know if I can say that for my lovely partners, but actually transaction tax, but around the point of, you know, women as investors, if you look at their profile, they're not risk averse, they're risk aware. But that's the kind of investment that you want, which is mindful, educated, informed, and for the longer term versus for a quick moment, which does not create, you know, the behaviours that we want or reward the right behaviours to create long-term broader prosperity. Mm. So I say yes.
Right then, well that's it. We'll sort it out between us. No problem.
That actually brings me very nicely onto my next question, which is to both of you. But we'll start with Sam. If you could change one thing in business tomorrow to level the playing field and help women thrive in business, what would it be?
I would unleash the power of collaboration. So that's people within organisations truly working together to enable their whole selves to come to work, as you've said, to be that multiple selves, whether that is actually a dad or a mum or someone who just wants to live a different life.
Mm.
And also business, government working together, businesses working together to drive change. So it is unleashing the power of collaboration.
I'll think of a better one than that, quite honestly. I mean, it is about diversity and inclusion. To me, and that needs to work in corporates, in small companies, and I speak for small companies in Parliament, you know, and in by entrepreneurs, and I think entrepreneurs tend to be more inventive, more open to difference, to opportunities. They can move faster and smarter. But as far as big companies are concerned, they do need to have more of a role of an awareness of their corporate responsibility within the communities that they live and the communities that they serve.
Mm. Great. Both of you are role models, both entrepreneurs, both change makers in the realm of supporting women in business. What would you say to listeners who want to succeed in their careers? What advice would you give to them if they're lacking confidence?
Some time ago, I did negotiation training, and I loved the key finding that the woman who ran it, a wonderful woman called Nicole Soames, and she said, "Go high, high." In your opening bid, go high, high. And women are terrible, whether that's for my job, my business, at actually negotiating against themselves. And that was another thing she taught me. Do not negotiate against yourselves.
Mm.
Before you sit across the person on the other side, because already you've done their job for them. So my kind of key piece of advice for women is go high, high.
Yeah.
Because in fact, other people will be going high, high and back yourself and hold your nerve and hold the line.
Yeah.
That's really useful.
Who There was a lovely book that was written, it must be about 20 years ago now, called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that's what I would say. Find yourself an affinity group. Pour all your worst fears and worries in and find out what other people have done about that. Because you're so strong together. And I think that's probably our biggest strength as women, is our ability to support each other.
Yeah.
And to care for each other. And I just think that, if we can do a little bit more of that, and just think, well, don't think what's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
I'll lose my house and my kids, I mean, it's not like that at all. And I think that... if you can, just kind of like this is product placement here, but like the Nike theme, just do it.
Yeah.
And that was the first piece of advice that my dad ever gave to me when I set up in business.
Mm.
And never, ever, ever set up in business with two ex-boyfriends. It's a really, really stupid idea.
Or an ex-husband, that was done as well.
Oh, yeah, well, I've done that too. Oh, dear. But, that thing, and he was saying, are you going to go out and do this and this and this? I said, I haven't got my business card yet, Dad. No, don't worry about your business cards. Just get out there. Start talking to people. And it's amazing what you will learn. And it is amazing the goodwill that's out there if you approach people. You say, I'm thinking of doing this. Can I ask you, what would you want from a company like this, what I'm thinking about setting up? And before you know where you are, you've got your first customer.
Yeah. I
would second that. I think that I set a goal that my dad advised me to do, which was when I turned 30, I was going to start my first business. Halfway through 29, I was like, oh dear, I'm approaching that deadline. I've got to do it. And so I just did it. And actually, I failed in the first 3 years. But I learned a lot. They were invaluable lessons, interestingly, about finance. But I have seen so many people have a potential project on the go, whether it's a business, a book, a life change. So I almost think just throw yourself in.
Learn along the way.
Ask lots of questions. Be resilient. Be flexible. Yeah. Use your network to learn some of their lessons and just do it, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. What's something that you're particularly good or bad at that smashes and goes against gender stereotypes?
There is a place in hell for every parent that gives you, at your son's fifth birthday, a little miniature Lego set, because you find yourself building maybe 20 of them in the weeks that preceded, which has just happened to me. And secretly, if I bother to read the instructions, I actually could do it. And I was actually quite pleased with myself, but I made my son promise not again until next year.
I'm absolutely useless at any kind of craft thing.
Yeah.
I can read a balance sheet, but ask me to knit a dishcloth and I'm definitely not there.
Very good. And we've been talking a lot about empowering women to succeed in business, help them grow their wealth, which is what the Wealthy Her Network's all about. But none of us are perfect and we all have our guilty pleasures. So I wanted to ask, what is the one thing that you spend too much money on?
I gave this some thought, and my first reaction was, I don't spend too much money on anything. If I really want it, I'm going to have it.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah, very empowering. Yeah,
that's a very,
it's true as well.
That is a very good answer.
Yeah.
I think it's important, and as women, we don't celebrate success enough, and I certainly would say that of myself, and have to remind myself to celebrate the moments and the markers.
Yes.
I do in those moments or about markers buy myself either a piece of jewellery or a pair of shoes to mark something really big and something that's just about me and that's success, because otherwise it's normally once a year I've cried.
Yeah.
But otherwise I wouldn't do it, and I think it's so important to celebrate what you've done and feel good rather than just think, right, what's next? What other job do I have to do in my multi-faceted life?
Yeah.
Great, thank you so much, both of you. I learned so much from that. That was fascinating. I feel 10 feet tall now. But I've learned so much. I'm sure all our listeners will be loved it just as much as I did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Behind the Story podcast.
If you liked today's show, you can tweet us at Higginson Tweets and let us know your thoughts, or you can follow our new Empower Twitter page, which is at UK Empower Women. See you next time.